Alt NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from AT&T, the passion to invent, the drive to deliver. The new AT&T, your world delivered.
The following is an installment of Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
There was this event, like a meeting with a bunch of military contractors at the Pentagon, where this happens quite frequently. Military contractors are there, and you know they want to talk about their new defense system, whatever, and they pitch it to congresspeople and sometimes members of the administration, whatever. Since I'm the only one in the office right now with a military background, I have to accompany the congressman to anything at the Pentagon because no one else can get in. So we're going down to this thing, and we arrive at the Pentagon. We go inside. We go through security. One of the people there leads us through all these corridors, elevators, escalators. By the time we get to where we're going, I don't know. We could be 100 miles underground. We could be sitting on the edge of the Potomac. I have no idea. But we walk into this room, and it's totally right out of Dr. Strangelove. Now, there's these big high-backed leather chairs, these tables. The big screens kind of showing the map of the world. And I look around. There's about 50 or so members of the Congress and the Senate. And so the defense contractor comes up and he says, can I have your attention? We'd like to start our presentation. The lights go down, and he starts this PowerPoint presentation. They start out with these kind of middle America houses with white picket fence and swings, and the kids are on the swings, and then it sort of superimposed with the white picket fences turning into concertina wire, and the kids riding up and down the streets initially have little bike helmets on, but they turn into Kevlar helmets and flak jackets. The cars driving up and down the street or become Humvees and tanks. So it's these images of this bizarrely militarized America, and then right then they start in with the pitch. Future of America is the military. Future of the military is America. They're one the same. And this is the way it's going to be for the foreseeable future. So you either get in on the winning team now, or you're going to be a big loser. Now, it's not about ideology. It's not about politics. It's about being a winner. It's about being on the winning team. And then he kind of goes into this, huckster car salesman bit. And he says, and by the way, if you join the winning team now, we have a really nice signing bonus for you. And everybody, all these guys that are sitting there in the audience, they all totally crack up, and the lights go up at this point. And I look over at the boss, and I can tell he's totally into this. So I feel like I have to ask. Right, I have to set him straight. So I rush over there, I grab him by the arm, and I tell him as fast as I can about Arnold meets Reagan, secret Hollywood government that hijacked the super spy group, that hijacked the terrorists, has been running the country since 9/11, all that stuff. And he just kind of looks at me with this very kind of supercilious look on his face. It says, okay there, party guy. He kind of taps me on the shoulder. No more scotch for you. Why don't you wait for me in the car? Okay, why don't you go take a nap? I'll be out in a little bit. And then he just kind of walks away, heads for the sign-up room or the blowjob room or whatever the f*** it is. I don't know. And all the Congress people and the senators are going in this room, and it's just kind of like I'm standing there, and they all just kind of disappear. The door closes, and I'm kind of standing in the dark. And all of a sudden, this guy kind of reaches out. This guy is standing in the shadows. Kind of startled me. He kind of reaches out and says, "Hey, man, don't feel bad. Boss man never listens to the little guy, especially when he's right." And I kind of look at the guy, and I swear it's Willem Dafoe. He looks just like him, I swear to God. But it's this crazy intense guy with his hand on my shoulder, and he's just staring at me. He walks to the back of the room, he motions for me to follow him, and he pushes on this panel, and it revolves, you know, like the bookcase in a Scooby-Doo episode. And he motions for me to follow him, so I follow him, and I swear to God, the next thing I know, I'm on the street, out in front of the Pentagon. It was like we went through some kind of secret passage, and I'm just like blown away. I thought we were like 1,000 miles underground or something, and so I'm just like standing there, I'm like, whoa. And the guy reaches into his pocket, pulls out some keys, and was like, bloop, bloop. There's this Corvette convertible sitting there. And he looks back at me, kind of leans in, says, "Why don't we take a ride?" I don't even say sure or anything. I just get in the car. We take off, and we start driving, and he starts telling me something. He's gesturing, he's talking, but it's windy. It's dark. I can't understand anything that he's saying, you know. And I'm just kind of nodding and trying to figure out where the hell I am. And the next thing I know, we're sitting in this strip club. And this place is nasty, with like the rudest women I have ever laid eyes on. And these chicks have saggy boobs. Cottage cheese asses. They're all just awful. They're hags, all of them. But this place has food, so this guy orders a plate of chicken wings, and I'm like thinking, I'm not buying food in this place. And then they bring the chicken wings, and they're just nasty. They look like they're greasy. They look like rat leg. I don't know what it was. I mean, I was like so disoriented, and I'm still upset about the whole thing at the Pentagon with the boss, and I just decide that I'm just going to tell this guy everything. So I tell him the whole story, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Ronald Reagan, David Copperfield, the secret Hollywood cabal, the hijacked plane, the spy, international spy group, the whole thing. And this time, though, when I'm talking to him, I actually remember to add in the part about the unreal superseding reality. So he listens to the whole thing while he's eating, you know, rat legs, you know, this greasy crap dripping off his chin, and he says, "Listen, man, I can tell you're upset, all right? No one would tell a story like that unless he was upset. You know, especially knowing how loose lips sink ships and everything. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to try to alleviate your discomfort. I'm gonna give you another piece of the puzzle." So I'm like, oh, God. Okay. He leans in close and he says, "David Copperfield, General Copperfield, works for the same people that were in the back room of that presentation that we were just at. And I'm just like, I just wave him off. I'm like, okay, obviously this guy's screwing with me. And this really hurts, you know, because I'm so confused. I'm so disoriented. And I'm just really upset. But then he says something that, like, totally blows my mind. He looks at me and he says, think about it this way. When you lift up a rock in your backyard, all kind of bugs come crawling out. And that's exactly what happened with 9/11. When those towers went down, all kinds of bugs, all kinds of slime came out. But the point is to keep your eye on the most slimy, most disgusting bug of all. That's the one you got to keep your eye on.
Okay, so why did this blow your mind?
Because, you see, it doesn't matter what you do with the puzzle pieces. You can stack them up into a pile, into this crazy conspiracy theory, or you can lay them out and make a nice, orderly New York Times factoid picture. But the key piece in both versions is the same. The key piece is that big, fat, slimy bug. The military. We have lost our country to the military.
Listening to Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
Alt, NPR.